Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. And again, let me just set this up, that I've been talking about how to find God's will, how to follow God's will, and then this week I'm talking about how to fulfill God's will. And in the two previous times, I've talked about that it's one thing to start serving God, but to finish your life serving God is rare. More people start with God than finish with God. And even though I don't want to say anything negative, I'm just trying to be realistic and to tell you that I see this all of the time. If this is a typical group, and it's probably not typical, this isn't your nod to God crowd. This is Friday night. You aren't getting credit for this. And so you're pretty much a fanatic if you're here, or you were drugged here by a fanatic. But if this was a typical group, there will be a large percentage of people that are here tonight seeking God, desiring God, but life will get in the way and you'll get hurt along the way. And I mean, there are lots of people that fall by the wayside and don't end up passionate for the Lord. I've seen it. I've seen it out of people that I didn't expect it from. I've seen it from people who are very good friends, who people that I just did not anticipate it. And yet, Satan, we have an enemy that's going about seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you, if you haven't realized it, it's not easy to finish your course and fulfill what God has called you to do. You have to be determined, and there are things that you need to learn. There's a lot of people that lose the race because they just aren't anticipating problems and they don't seek the Lord. And like that teaching series I was talking about, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, Rehoboam did evil because he wasn't prepared to serve the Lord. You got to prepare your heart. It takes some effort. It's like supper. You don't just sit there and throw it together and the ingredients don't come together. A cake doesn't make itself. You have to fix it. You have to prepare it. You have to mix these things together. There are things you have to do to be able to finish your course. And so that's what we've been talking about. Last night I talked about obedience and how important it is. Today I talked about patience and how patience comes when you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I use Peter and Elijah as negative examples. Peter started walking on the water, but when he got right up to Jesus, was within reaching distance, he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves and he began to sink. And then Elijah is a man who called fire down out of heaven, saw people raised from the dead, saw a revival, did all of these great things, but he got to thinking, look what I have done. I'm better than other people. And when he did that, he took his eyes off of God and a woman with a note scared him and he ran. And he did not fulfill God's will. Two-thirds of the things that God spoke to Elijah in an audible voice, he failed to do. That's amazing. And let me just put in a P.S. I said this morning, but it's really important that you understand this. When I say things like this, most of us come from a legalistic background to where God's going to curse you and hurt you and do something to you if you mess up. And we feel like He punishes us and does things like this. God didn't punish Elijah. Elijah didn't fulfill his mission, and because of it, Naboth died by a king who shouldn't have been in power if Elijah would have done what God told him to do. People died in the city of Samaria, and they actually ate their own children and had to eat their own dung and sold their own dung for high prices. People were in straits because Elijah did not obey God, but God wasn't mad at him. God still loved him, and in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah was caught up into heaven in a whirlwind and didn't die. He was translated into heaven, one of only two people in the recorded Bible. So God still loved him, and God was dealing with him by grace. Even though he didn't fulfill God's will, he was still blessed. But I was making this point that it's not about you just being blessed. God wants to use you. And if you want to be used, if you want to fulfill God's will and get everything out of you that God put in you for other people, you're going to have to learn to be obedient, and you're going to have to finish your course, and you're going to have to do what God tells you to do. So it's not just about you being blessed. Yes, God loves you. And you don't have to live a godly life and fulfill everything that God called you to do. You know, if I was to stop right now, there are multitudes of people that would condemn me and talk about, isn't it tragic what Andrew did? And Andrew just got tired and quit. And man, he still had a lot to do, and God had plans for him. And there's people that would condemn me. But you know what? God would still love me. God would bless me. I would have rewards for what I've already done. And God would bless me in spite of who I am. And God would love me. And if, you know, like Elijah, I could still be translated into heaven. It wouldn't affect God's love towards me. But man, there are things God has for me to do that I don't want Satan to sidetrack me and stop them from happening. There are people's lives that need to be touched. There's things I've got to do, and I am not willing to just sit here and think about myself and bask in the fact that God loves me. I want to see God's love flow through me and His will for my life accomplished. And to do that, I've got to obey, and I've got to stay on track, and there's things that I have to do. Amen? And what I want to share with you tonight, this will be powerful, and I'm going to take probably more than tonight. I'll go into tomorrow on this also. And like I said, I've got 5 teachings on this that go into more detail, so I'm just going to be hitting some of the highlights. But in Romans chapter 1, the Lord said some things here that are just tremendous. In verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And I haven't got time to teach on that, but that's a radical statement. The word gospel has become a religious cliche to us, and when we say it, people use the word gospel to refer to all of the condemnation and the guilt and the terrible things that religion is teaching, and it's not gospel. The word gospel means good news. And I haven't got time to teach on it, but it really is even more than just good news. It's nearly too good to be true news. It's just over the top, and nothing about religion is good news. It just binds people. It just causes problems. When Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," it wasn't a cliche in his day, and people were shocked and said, "You can't tell people that God's good. They won't serve Him out of goodness. They got to serve Him out of fear. They got to be afraid that they're going to go to hell, and they won't get their prayer answered if they don't fast and pray. And if they don't tithe, God's going to take that money from them. And you got to use negative motivation to get people to do what's right." That was the people of his day. And so when Paul said that he's not afraid of the gospel, he knew that there was going to be this criticism. And so in the next verse, in verse 18, this is Romans chapter 1, and in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." If you look this up in the Greek, it actually, the tenses of this means it is already revealed. The wrath of God is already revealed. It's on the inside of people is what it goes on to say in these next verses. In other words, Paul is saying, look, you don't have to tell people that God is holy and they're unholy. There's an intuitive knowledge. People already know that they're fearful. They know that they are not what they should be. Now, there's people that will debate that. But I can guarantee you, you stick a gun to a person's head or you tell them you're going to die, and you know what? People will go, "Oh, God." And they're afraid to meet God. They know in their heart. You look in the Bible, and I could spend hours verifying all of this stuff. But in the Bible, when people saw God, they fell on their face and they said, "Woe is me, for I'm an unclean man. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people." When you get into the presence of God, you know in your heart. There are people today that have spent so much time in the carnal, natural realm that they have denied their heart, and they have hardened themselves to it, like that book I've got on hardness of heart. And they don't spend much time thinking about it. And so they'll get into these mind games and tell you, "Oh, I have no conviction about living like an animal and doing the things that I do. And there's nothing wrong, and I don't feel bad about it." That's not the truth. In their heart, God is already revealed. himself. And they know in their heart that it's wrong. This is why people don't want to be still. It says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. The reason people don't want to be still, they got to have the television on. They got to have music going. They got to have something going. People just can't sit still. They say, I'm bored, and they got to go do something. The reason they can't be still is because if you get still and quiet, this little homing device that God placed on the inside of every person starts beeping and going off and saying, is this all there is? I'm not content. There's got to be something more. And people don't like this. And so they just drown it out and get the music and all of the background noise louder. You know, I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., and I was walking on these, they're trails in between the Washington Monument and the Capitol. And I was going to all of these places, and it's covered with gravel. And as I was walking, I knew that I should be making noise. Because I was walking on gravel. You should have been able to hear. But I honestly listened and I couldn't hear a single thing. It was like it was just totally quiet. And I thought, this is really unusual. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then we left from there and went straight to the Shenandoah National Park. And I walked on the Appalachian Trail. And I was out there, and I mean every footstep, it was like it was loud. It was like it could be heard a long distance. And I got to thinking, and you know what the deal was? The ambient noise in Washington, D.C., there were so many trains, and there was so many traffic, and so much plane, and there was people and loudspeakers, and the outside noise was so loud that you couldn't hear yourself walking on this gravel. But when you got out on the Appalachian Trail and there was nothing there, it sounded really loud. And the truth is, see, that just like that, your heart is speaking to you 24 hours a day, every minute of every day. God has revealed himself to you, but the noise of this world just drowns out this still small voice that's on the inside of us.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU19 titled, What About Your Values? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to go visit our website. It's www.awmi.net. And I tell you, I think it's one of the best websites available. And on this website, you can do all kinds of things. You could review your giving and things. Plus, there are hundreds of my teachings that you can get free downloads, thousands of my television programs available, thousands of our radio programs available. There's news updates about what's happening through our Bible college students and graduates worldwide. And I tell you, it is just a tremendous place. Plus, I review the guest book nearly daily, and I would love to hear comments. So it's awmi.net.